timing of the rapture, and I've got 5 minutes. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night. It will be an unheralded event, something that is unexpected and sudden. If we believe that scripture, then we can reject all the other views about the tribulation and when the church is raptured. Because in every other view of the rapture, it always comes after the tribulation starts and the revelation of the Antichrist. If we know that, then we can know when the rapture is going to take place within reason. It's going to take place within the next 3.5 or 7 years or 5 years, whatever. It's an unheralded event, and that to me gives me great encouragement in my position. And then Paul says this, "You're not in darkness that that day should overtake you. Ye are the children of light, therefore not as we sleep as others, but let us watch and pray." He said, now Paul, you've been made aware of these things. You're not in darkness. Don't sleep. What he's saying is do not be indifferent to this spiritual revelation. Watch. Be spiritually alert. It means to be vigilant. And thirdly, he says to be sober, free from the influence of intoxicants. I think what Paul is trying to tell these believers, not to be intoxicated or have their minds clouded by other teachings on this event. Why do I think that? Remember, one of the reasons Paul wrote the letter to the Thessalonians was people had written letters supposedly signed by Paul opposing some of the things Paul said. Others were teaching it amongst the Thessalonians. So Paul knew already that error was creeping in from others that were bringing it in. And so he says, don't be clouded. Then he says his. And this I want to just leave with you. He tells us this in 2 Thessalonians 2:1. "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him." So the subject is the rapture, our gathering together unto him. "That ye be not soon shaken in mind or troubled either by spirit or by word, neither by letter from us, as to that day, the day of Christ is at hand." So this is the people that are writing trying to confuse the issue. And then he says this, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there be a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." There are two events that had to take place before. There had to be the falling away and the revelation, literally, of the Antichrist. Now, the Greek word for falling away is apostasia. It means a departure. Now, the context determines what is a departure from, and that's important. In those editions of the Bible, which were the early Bibles, it was always translated as the departure or a departure. It should all be noted in the Greek that there's no definite article before the word apostasia. So literally what he's saying is that there will be apostasia, no the apostasia. Oh, sorry, is missing. The "the" is missing. In the English language, we have transliterated the word apostasia into the English, and what do we know it as today? Apostasy. And again, it's like the rapture, it's a transliterated word. It was not in the original. Now remember what the subject was, Paul wrote about, our gathering together unto him. What are two events that are going to take place? Most understand that word apostasia to mean apostasy. There's going to be apostasy in the world before the revelation of the Antichrist. Well, apostasy was in Paul's day. It's certainly around today. There has been apostasy in the church from the very early foundation of the church. My view is that it should be really translated as the departure. I believe it's a reference to the rapture. In the Greek, the word noun, the noun word is only used twice. It's used 15 times as a verb, and in only 3 times out of those 15 times does it refer to a departure from the faith. Mostly it is a spatial departure, and I leave that with you for your studies. And then he adds these lovely words, comfort one another with these words. What is he comforting them about? They'll be gone before the Antichrist arrives. And that would be a word of comfort to them. When will it take place? Very quickly. You have these in your notes. People have tried it to predict the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1977, William Brannan. Weissenhart wrote that reason, 88 reasons why the rapture could take place at any time in 1988. And Branham was a Pentecostal pastor. Weissenhart was a NASA engineer. One of the most vocal on this subject was Harold Camping. He was president of Family Radio, and he predicted all those dates. But his answer is this. When they went to him after it didn't happen, they said this: only if the Bible is in error am I wrong. He emerged from his home in May, saying he was flabbergasted that the rapture had not occurred. He stated he was looking for answers. And later in a private interview, he made this statement, that he no longer believed that anybody could know the time of the rapture or the end of the world, in stark contrast to his previous staunch position. And in March 2012, he said this, that in his attempts to predict the date were sinful, and that his critics had been right in emphasising the words of Matthew, no man knoweth the hour except the Father, of that day knoweth no man. He said that he was now searching the Bible even more fervently, not to find dates, but to be more faithful in his understanding. And since 1997, though, there have been 51 people who have predicted the end of the world and the rapture. It'll happen when the Lord determines. When will it happen? Well, this is when it will happen. When will it take place? For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. The world will think that all is at peace, all will be calm and certain, and then the judgment of the tribulation starts. You know, we do not know the time, the hour, or the moment when the rapture will take place. To set dates is one of the most dangerous things you can do. Remember what happened in the 1940s when William Miller, the Baptist minister, predicted when the world would end. He had a follower. You remember who that follower was? Ellen White. And when he recanted and said he'd made a big mistake, Ellen White continued to believe that you could name the date of the Lord's return. She married a seven-dayer. And out of it we have seven-day Adventism today. Error can spawn some awful things in the world. It spawned that great error of the Seventh-day Adventism today. Error is dangerous. Just trust what the scriptures say. We do not know the time of the hour. Keep watching for it though. Just keep watching, living for Christ in this age in which we live. Just close with a little word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to share these thoughts here this morning. May they indeed be written upon our hearts. But above all, dear Lord, may we go home and study those passages for ourselves, that we might indeed be convinced of what the Word of God teaches. Give us understanding to rightly divide the word of truth, for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.